fired up. We worship. We were setting in worship today, and I was bouncing around, and Pastor Brian looked at me and said, "How many monsters have you drank this morning?" And I said, "None." But I slept in the recliner basically from 7 to 9 last night. I went to bed, and then I got up at 7 this morning, so I am actually a little rested. I can't tell it by the way I'm talking, but I'm a little rested. And it was a long week, but a great week. But I'm excited to be back and be able to preach this sermon today. Number one, I love Baby Dedication Sunday. And I have been trying to get a baby dedication since, well, we'll just say that we first started talking about baby dedication when little David here was born. Little DJ Jr. there was born. And he just celebrated his 1-year birthday. So it took that long for me to get that worked out. But we're going to be doing baby dedication as part of the sermon today, and I'm excited about that. I love baby dedications. They make me happy. But when I scheduled it, I didn't know I was doing Bible Butts. And then I had the dedication scheduled, and I thought, what in the world am I going to do about Bible Butts and baby dedication? But God provided. This morning, I want to spend a few minutes talking about but. As Pastor Ann say, I made up. But. I want you to open your Bibles with me. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 13. Going to be reading verses 13 through 16 this morning. It says, then they brought little children to him and that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms and he laid his hands on them and blessed them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now and I give you glory. I give you praise. I give you honor and I give you thanksgiving. And Lord, I ask that as we begin to move into this service, Lord, that you would begin to speak. You would speak through me, Lord Jesus. Let your anointing flow. Lord, allow me to express this message in a way, Lord, that is understandable and it ignites a fire in the hearts and lives of everyone who hears it. Lord, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we've been reading, if you go back and you read the book of Mark, as you read the scriptures, you find out that Jesus in the book of Mark, Mark writes a very active gospel. As a matter of fact, many people have said the gospel of Mark is very specifically for our time frame. It's written almost like a movie script. It's written almost like an action movie. In that Mark does not give us a long list of whose daddy was whose daddy was whose daddy was whose daddy that came to Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, I can get excited about that list, and I can preach about that list. And a few years ago, we had a man here, Brother Chuck Duncan, and he got up and he quoted the genealogies. Yeah, you remember that? And he talked about the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the lion of the tribe of Judah was the head of the tribe of Judah, of which Jesus was born. And the important thing about the lion of the tribe of Judah is that the lion of the tribe of Judah was the first person to walk in the tribe in the desert as they led out of Egypt. But what makes that even more exciting is that Judah was the first tribe to go out in the march. So the lion of the tribe of Judah led the entire nation. Come on now. And all of a sudden, when you follow the genealogies down of the lion of the tribe of Judah, you find that it comes down to Jesus is the one who leads the entire church, and he leads them out. Now, I could preach about that, but I'm not going to. Mark doesn't go into all that stuff. John gets all touchy-feely on us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word... Come on now. The who? The huh? Who? They named him Word? I mean, you know, it was figurative, and it was poetic, and it was the power. And when you read, he's about love, and he's about the mercy. But Mark says Jesus is here, and by the end of chapter 1, he's casting out devils. I mean, Jesus walks on the scene, and you hear the music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Some guitar goes, and he walks out and goes, "Come out, you evil spirit." Okay, it's maybe only in my head is there rock and roll music playing behind Mark. But Mark is a book of action. And as you go through the book of Mark, it is miracle after miracle, victory after victory, power after power. By the time we get to Mark chapter 10, we have seen great and mighty things happen. We have seen God reach down and heal the sick and raise the dead. We have seen Jesus walk on the water. We have seen all these things that have happened. And crowds have began to notice. Wow, there goes Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, they wanted to be there. They began to follow him. But this day, the disciples are with Jesus. The crowds are with Jesus. And somewhere... Now, it could have been a daddy, but I believe it was a mama. Somewhere, somebody said, "I'm taking my baby to Jesus. I want to take my child and let Jesus touch him. If Jesus touches a lame man and he walks, I want to get the lame to Jesus. If he touches a dumb man and he talks, I want to get the dumb to Jesus. If he touches a blind man and he sees, I want to get the blind to Jesus. If he touches a dead man and he lives, but if he touches all of them, I want my child there. Because if he touches my child, think what my child can do. If he touches my child, think about the protection. Come here, boy. Hold my hand. Hold your daddy's hand. These sermons were so much easier to preach when he was 10. 7 was even easier, but anyway. When Anthony and Michael were little, if there was something I knew would help them, I wanted to get them to it. I wanted them to see it. I wanted them to experience it. I wanted them to be in the presence. There was somebody that I thought was important or something I thought was historical. I wanted them to see it. I wanted them to watch it. I wanted them to be a part of it. Why? Because as they grew up, I wanted them to have the experience. I wanted them to have the impact. I wanted it to impact on their lives. When Michael was just a baby, just a small child, was 9/11. And when 9/11 came, and he began to grow up as the first generation of the last people to know. Do you realize that seniors this year are the last class of seniors that were alive when 9/11 was born? Actually, it might have been last year because you're a year behind, right?
Yeah.
I'm one of the last people. He's one of the only ones in his class that was alive for 9/11. That makes me feel old. But when I got a chance to go to New York City, I took them to Crown Zero. You know why? Because I wanted them to remember. I wanted them to see. I wanted them to experience. I wanted them to understand. When I take them to, I've taken him to services. I've had people pray for him. Why? Because I wanted power. I wanted anointing. I've had him watch historical events on TV because I wanted them to understand. Somewhere, some mama said, if Jesus can heal the sick and raise the dead, he gonna touch my baby. Because every mama and every daddy in the house know there ain't nobody sicker and nobody deader than your own kid. Come on now. Now some of you go, my kid is wonderful. My kid needed a lot of touching of Jesus. And I touched him for Jesus a few times. But they said, go ahead and sit down there, boy. They said, we're going to take our child to Jesus that he might touch them. Now, I'm going to tell you, sometimes you have situations and you have circumstances and you say, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to make it through this. We need help. We need God's intervention. We need God's power. Sometimes you understand that you just want to give them to Christ. Not that you want to get rid of your child. Well, sometimes, but you want to give them to Christ because you want Christ to do with them what he has to do with them. You want Christ to be the one leading the decisions and leading the things. We have a young man being dedicated today. Actually, rededicated, I believe. And did I do the first one? I thought I did. I have a young boy being rededicated today. Little Gunner. I found that picture on Facebook and I thought, that is so Gunner. That is so Gunner. I want y'all to come on up. Gunner, I've dedicated Gunner before. But in Gunner's life, there's been trial. There's been challenges. Home is not like home was. Difficult. All the way up here. You don't get stopped there. All the way up here. There have been challenges. There's been situations. There's been changes. Dwayne called me a few weeks ago. He said, I heard you're doing baby dedication. He said, I want to rededicate Gunner. He said, I want to take now that all that turmoil is over. And we live with the residue, we live with the circumstances, but I want to rededicate him and move forward. See, I think this is exactly who the people were that were taking their babies to Jesus. I think it's quite possible. It was situations where home wasn't like home used to be. And there may have been challenges. There may have been difficulties. There may have been circumstances. There may have been extenuating things. And they said, we want to make sure that Jesus has blessed. And they brought their kids to Jesus. My you buddy. He will call once. They'll call me once in a while because he has to say hi to Pastor. What does Pastor say? What does Pastor say? That's what Pastor says. Unfortunately, that's the impression I've put on him. But and baloney between that. But can you come here? Can I hold you? Come here. Come here. Oh man! I tell you, I could have almost held Michael easier than that. This young boy has a heart. He has a lot of energy. Somebody say amen, Grandma. I've been told he's just like his daddy. Somebody say oh me. but he's got a heart. And Dad said, I want him to be blessed. I want him to be rededicated back to God. And I want him to be given over. He's had a rough life so far. But God's going to bless him. And Dwayne, I want you to know you have a commitment to this child. That's to raise this child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, to teach him right from wrong. That means that you got to keep it. You got to be the example. This church, we have a commitment to this child, to love him and to care for him and to teach him and to be there when he needs us. And as we do that together, he can live what God has for him. I want you to stretch your hands this way, and I want us to pray for Gunner and Dwayne. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now, and I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing and for your peace. And Lord, I want you to reach down and I want you to touch Gunner. Lord Jesus, I want you to rededicate his life to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want you to put a hedge of protection around him. Lord, I want you to guide him and teach him, Lord Jesus, as he goes through situations of times here and times in other places. Let the light of Christ be brightest in his heart. Lord Jesus, use him, Lord Jesus, to be a light and a hope to other people. Lord, we give you glory. Lord, I pray that you would bless him. Lord, put your very hand on him and bless him this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Ooh, give me a hug. Praise the Lord. That's what they were doing. They brought their kids and they said, hey, we want our kids to be blessed. We want them to feel the power. We want Jesus to come in. And maybe in bad situations, maybe in situations where everything isn't as cut and dry as it is in other families, maybe in situations where the family home looks different than it does in other places, maybe it was someplace where there was some hurt or maybe there was some loss, and all of a sudden they said, we want Jesus to touch. But then but came along. I mean, yeah, the word, one T. Glad I put but the disciples instead of putting the disciple. But anyway, but the disciples came. Now you have to understand, the disciples had gotten selfish. See, you can only call it what it is. The disciples had decided that now their job was to protect Jesus. Now, let me tell you one thing. When you start protecting Jesus, you stop following Jesus. You cannot protect Jesus and learn from Jesus. Jesus doesn't need your protection. He doesn't need you to be the gatekeeper. He doesn't need you to be the bodyguard. He needs you to be the follower. But somewhere down the road, we become like the disciples and we start becoming the gatekeeper of the gospel. We start becoming the bodyguards of the anointing. And when the children come in, we get up and say, whoa, don't be bothering Jesus with kids. Come on. Some of you live that way in the church. Don't bother us with a bunch of teenagers. They don't bathe. Don't bother us with a bunch of teenagers. They talk too much in church. Well, praise God. Last I checked, we were at a Pentecostal church, and if you're saying amen while I'm preaching, they can probably talk a little bit. We won't ever notice. Don't bother me with children. Don't bother me with crying babies. Make sure we keep the children's church a long way from the sanctuary because we don't want to hear them. Let me tell you something. Number one, our children's church is a ministry to children. It is not your babysitting service. It is not here to take care of the kids so that you can get something. I'm going to tell you, if you want to know the truth and you want to know how I feel about it, and ooh, here we go. If you want to know how I really feel about things, most of the time I feel like I'm taking care of you so they can do ministry next door. I got news for you. We're going to go in a minute. I'm going to get to this. I'm just going to give you a little foreshadow. Jesus said you can't have faith unless you become like a child. If we could get some of the old... I'll preach that later in the sermon. The disciples started being bodyguards of the blessing. And they started saying, you can't get there. You're not important. You're too young. You're not able. Let me tell you what we've got to change in our church. We've got to change the mindset that when they get older, God can use them. I got news for you. Statistics tell me that 80% of people that get saved in America today do so before they're 12 years old. If we wait till they're in high school, we won't get them. If we wait till they're in college, we'll never see them again. If we don't start focusing our ministry on the children, we're only going to buy time until they put me and you in a casket and roll us to a graveyard. The disciples said, leave Jesus alone. This is for the adults. I've got news for you. The anointing and the blessing that Jesus Christ had is not for the adults, but it's for the children. It's for the teenagers. It's for the young adults, the middle adults, the old adults. It's for every one of us. And every one of us need to be running to his side. Every one of us need to be going to his presence. But somewhere, church after church becomes like the disciples, where we start saying, oh, they want to bring their kids, but we don't have a place for them. We want to bring the kids, but we don't have a budget for them. We want to bring the kids, but we don't have the time. We don't care about the kids. What the disciples were truly saying is they're not important. Now, let me defend the disciples a little bit. Because most of the disciples were kids themselves. If you search what the average age of a disciple of the disciples were, you'll find out it was somewhere between 18 and 20. Peter was the old man. John was the youngest man. And all of a sudden, you begin to realize they could not see the importance of children. And so I might be able to give them a little bit of a break because they didn't have kids of their own. But I can't give most of you the same break. How in heaven's name can we walk into the house of God and say that we want to get a touch from Jesus, but somebody needs to take care of our kids so we can focus on him? I've come by here to tell you today, your responsibility as a Christian is to pull your children in and show them the truth of the gospel. I was a youth pastor for 8 years. And as I told them yesterday at training, I was in punishment for 6 months as a children's pastor. Children ain't my thing as far as being a children's pastor. If it was, you better be glad that I'm not a children's pastor. Because if I could be effective, the only reason I struggled with children, I didn't feel I was effective. If I felt like I could be effective as a children's pastor, you'd have another pastor. Because that's where ministry happens. If 80% of people get saved before they're 12, why in the world am I preaching to old folks? Come on now. I want to be at the place where people's lives are being changed. And I've told Marilyn multiple times, if I could figure out a way to do it, I'd do children's church. Let somebody else preach. I'd be the pastor from the children's church building. I've known pastors that did it. You're getting to come up in a minute. He's excited. But I want to tell you, I've done youth. I've done children. They don't bother me. I don't notice the kids. Now, I tell you what I do. Every once in a while, I'll see them, and I go, stand up. Sit down. Quiet. When I was a youth pastor, I had the famous pulpit look. You've seen that look a few times, haven't you? I don't even have to say nothing. Just look at him. We need a move of God in our children. God's sending us a revival right now. That revival is not limited to the adults. Somewhere we've decided that we need to become bodyguards of the blessing. And all of a sudden we've decided that when the kids come in, we need to get them off in a corner. If you're up here praying in the altar and you're seeking God and you're praying and you're okay with your kids sitting in a corner watching a video on a video game or playing on their phone, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you need to take the phones away from the kids before they get to church. Set your son, set your daughter by your side and teach them how to worship. Pastor, they can't handle that. Hey, I'm not saying they got to sit there like statues. They're kids. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to give them excuses not to pay attention. You have become a bodyguard of the blessing. And what you have done is you have put a gate on the hinge of a cell phone. And you said, here, occupy yourself so that I can get something from God. And hopefully you'll get it later. They're never going to get it later. Why don't you take them by the hand and escort them into the presence of God? Oh, yeah, I understand. You may have to sacrifice once in a while. But if you can win them, you've won the world. The disciples said, leave Jesus alone. They wanted to get blessing, but the disciples said they couldn't. That word but, I've talked all week, all month. That word but means that everything changes. They wanted to take their children to Jesus, but the church, but the disciples, but the parents, but the whoever got in the way. Grandma, Grandpa, y'all listen to me for a second. Everybody my age and older, listen to me for a second. I am a year away from getting the kid out of my house, and I can't wait. And unlike some of you, I'm moving. And I'm going to put bars on the windows, and they ain't coming back. Everybody keeps saying, yeah, they leave, but they come back. So let me tell you something. But everybody my age and older, I want you to hear something. I understand the freedom that comes when you get your kids out of your house. Some of you don't, but I do. Trust me. It's a great feeling that you guys will never know. It's a great thing. But don't you dare walk into this house and curl your nose or cross your arms or give an angry look because there's a kid sitting in front of you or because there's a dirty diaper sitting beside you. You lift up your hands and you praise God that there's a little bit of life going to go further than you in this church. I just had to say that now and go on. Dear Lord, pastor can even make baby dedications mean. The disciples came by, and they said, but you can't go. And the disciples' butt took the fire and the joy and the victory out of what mom and daddy wanted to do. They could have, if the scripture ended there, they would have left hurt and dismayed and angry. But when Jesus saw it, I want you to get this picture. They wanted to go to the Jesus with the babies, but the disciples said no. And the disciples' butt had stopped them in their tracks. But when Jesus saw it, Jesus' butt opened the way back up again. I told the children earlier, I want you to know this. When Jesus says butt, it's more powerful than anybody else's butt you'll ever come across. Come on now. Jesus' butt is stronger than anybody else's butt. I'm talking one tease to get your minds out of the gutter. But when Jesus says, but Jesus, I was a sinner, but Jesus made me whole. I was sick, but Jesus healed me. I was depressed, but Jesus gave me joy. You see, but Jesus is more powerful than but man. But Jesus is more powerful than but the disciples. Oh, let me preach to somebody in the room for a second. I don't care what pastor or preacher has offended you or hurt you or said something to you. The but that the preacher put in your life is no match for but Jesus, who comes in and brings hope and brings peace. I've lived a life of people coming in and saying, well, I once used to go to church, but those Christians, they were hypocrites. Yep, every one of them. I used to love Jesus, but I had a youth pastor that blah, 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 blah. I used to serve Jesus, but I had a pastor that blah, 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 blah. And I believe that I've seen youth pastors at blah, 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 and I've seen pastors at blah, blah, blah. I've probably been a youth pastor and a pastor that's blah, blah, blah. I say things that offend people occasionally. I've gotten up in church and walked back and opened the back doors and invited people to leave if they don't like it. I haven't done that here. Threatened it, but I haven't done it. I preach a little straight sometimes, okay? A lot of the time. Okay, all the time. And it would be easy to walk out and say, I want to serve God, but that preacher didn't have any grace, but that preacher didn't have any love, but that preacher did this and that, but that preacher did that. And I got news for you. I understand that all happens. But it doesn't matter what but some preacher did. But Jesus has your back. But Jesus has come to make a way for you. But Jesus has come to love you. Bible says, but when Jesus saw it, he got angry. Now, let me read it. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the children come to me. And do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. See, somewhere we get that idea, that's the way Jesus talked. But when you read this and you see that Jesus was great, have any of you ever been greatly displeased? Somebody better be saying amen, because some of you have been greatly displeased with me. You talk different when you're displeased. And I don't know which way Jesus did it. Jesus may have said, let the little children come to me. See, that's my mama. When she talks without opening her mouth, let the little children come to me. She's mad. Love you, Mom. Let the little children She'll start shaking that foot.
I told you to sit down.
Jesus may have gritted his teeth. Then there's the me and Michael approach.
Let the little children come to me.
We grunt a lot. Get in our houses. Oh. Because we displease each other a lot. Let the little children. What he didn't say is, let the little kids come. No, he let the disciples. They knew. Sometimes it's the, let the little children come to me. See, Pastor Brian's learned I can tell him something. He knows when I just want it to happen. He knows when I need it to happen now. Get it done now. Jesus was displeased. The disciples were in the wrong, but Jesus said, I'm going to fix this. And he told them to bring the kids to him. Let the little children come to me. I want to touch them. I want to bless them. DJ Jr. He's so cute. He's so cute. I want y'all to bring him up here. Bring him up here. And I want many of the family wants to come. Y'all can come. Yeah, you can come up here. Whoop. Hallelujah. That's a kid after the spirit right there. He gets the altar. He starts falling down. That's, yeah. Yeah.
He says, I might go. He may have said, let the kids come to me, but I ain't going to him. That's for sure. You're adorable. You know that? Yeah, he don't even like me. Wow. He's adorable. Jesus says, I want him. I want him with us so that I can bless him. The Bible says he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. I'm going to tell this family, just like I told Dwayne a while ago, y'all have a responsibility. And not just to chase him around. But you got a responsibility to train that kid. To raise him, show him love and show him compassion and show him mercy. Correct him when he's wrong. Love him all the time. We got a responsibility to provide for this kid. To love on him. He says, I'm a big boy. I can stand on my own. Right? I'm almost afraid to give him mic. The way he's jerking around there, he may take off preaching. I want us to stretch our hands towards little DJ Jr. here, and I want us to ask God to bless him and to send his power. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, I come to you right now. And Lord, I pray that you would touch this baby. Lord, I want you to bless him and heal him. Lord, I want you to send your power and your anointing into his life. Lord, I want you to use him for your purpose and for your power. Lord, I bless him. Lord, I dedicate him to your service and to your purpose in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Woo! I have a feeling he going to be a big boy one of these days. Let me rephrase that. He's a big boy now. I can't wait to watch him play football. Amen. Jesus. says, I'm happy. Jesus said, bring the kids to me. This is the last thing I want to point out. He says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. This little baby, he up here, he wasn't worried by you guys. He wasn't concerned about y'all. Some of you won't get out of your seat because you're afraid of who's sitting next to you. You get these little kids, Gunner does it. Gunner will get his toys together and preach to them. Unfortunately, the only two words he thinks I say is butt and baloney. We don't even think about church while we're at home. We don't even think about what God can do and how God can bless. I got news for you. Some of you need to become like children. Some of you have become old and crusty, and you don't have any faith, and you don't have any hope, and you sit around and you snore your nose at everything, and you say this, that, and the other is wrong, and that I'm so sick of hearing, not necessarily from this church, but from the church world, I'm so sick of hearing, that's not how we used to do it. Well, ain't nobody do it like you used to do it, because it ain't done that way anymore. You don't even do it like you used to do it, because some of you use cell phones now when you used to wind up a phone and talk to the operator. Some of us used to walk around the kitchen with a 40-foot long cord on a phone and wrap ourselves up in it. And now we walk around with a cell phone attached to our head. We don't do that the way we used to do it. Most of us used to drive cars that didn't have AC in them. But we don't do that anymore. Most of us used to live in houses that didn't have AC. Some of you lived in houses that had 3 bedrooms in a path. You don't do that anymore. I got news for you. Why in the world do we think that our generation is the only one that had a handle on God's call? We need to become like children and say, God, if you can give it to me, I'm going to take it. God, whatever you want to pour into my life, that's what a child will do. I reach out to a child and hold my hand out. They're going to come to me. Why? They don't know what I'm handing them, but they want what I've got. I've got news for you. We need to become like children where we quit asking God, what do you have? And instead we say, God, I want what you've got. We have to be like children. Because the world, it says, but you can't go there. Your family, it says, but you can't have that. Our traditions, it said, but you can't do that. But Jesus has said, come on to me, all you who are heavy and laboring, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus' butt is stronger than every other butt that's ever been in your life. If you'll just follow after it with peace and with mercy. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now.